Welcome to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Buster Swoops and Michael Campbell. This week in preparation for Sabbath, April 20th, we look at Lesson 3, Light Shines in the Darkness. Join us as we seek to move out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Christ.
The Sabbath School Rescue Podcast is hosted by Michael Campbell and Buster Swoops at the Adventist Learning Community. Together, we love learning and have 18 years of pastoral experience. And now we have the privilege to dig deeper into the study.
Okay, Michael, here we are, Lesson 3, and light shines in the darkness. Memory text, John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you." He walks in darkness, does not know where he is going.
You know, this passage reminds me of like being in a cave. If anyone's done spelunking before, and all you need is that one little match. It doesn't have to be very much, just that one little light and transforms everything.
Well, hopefully we find that light, and that's this little light of ours is not just the Word of God, but it is the Word Himself. That's Christ. Mm-hmm. So, Michael, tell us about Sunday's lesson. Compromise Satan's subtle strategy.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is where we get into the twilight zone, you know, so this kind of in-between thing where we're having difficulty determining what actually is light and starting getting into these things where there's confusion. And I think that's really what Satan's after here is to try to, so that people can't tell the difference between light and darkness. It's kind of like people that go scuba diving, you know. You have to have something that tells you what's buoyant, what's pointing up. You lose the air, you lose your buoyancy. You don't know. You're just floating there. You don't know what's up, what's down anymore. And that's the kind of thing that can happen. And so that kind of confusion. And Christ is what gives us buoyancy. It's what gives us that light, that true direction that we need. But you see a contrast here? That's what this lesson's asking here is how do we know the difference, right? This contrast. John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if we want that crystal clarity that will help us to tell the difference and to give us that direction that we need, it's found in Jesus Christ. And we see the contrast of that, John 8:44, about Jesus rebuking, right? And you're about the devil and his desires, right? A murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. So we want truth. That's truth with a capital T here. That's only found in Jesus. There is Jesus Christ reveals who he is. And we find that in scripture and through his life and ministry here while he was here on earth. That was Jesus, the truth with a capital T, the truth. And then we see some other comparable passages. How do we know Jesus? You know, well, I didn't live 2,000 years ago, but we do see Christ revealed through the written word. So that brings us to our second part of this passage here. For example, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth, don't sell it. You know, don't, you have something really amazing, you don't want to get rid of it. Don't pick it up. Don't just let it flagrantly sit by and passively miss out on something that's just amazing. And I like that. That's the kind of image of how I think we're sort of posture that we're supposed to have as Christians, Buster, yes. that God wants us searching for truth. It's something valuable, something we desire, and we grow in our understanding of truth as well. As more and more we come closer to Jesus, the more we see how unlike Christ we are, and the more we need to surrender our hearts each and every day to Christ. And I think that's, again, a beautiful, beautiful image for us. Another passage, this is a classic, just when it's talking about truth, probably the one that comes actually most readily to my mind, and that's John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth, because your word is truth. So we want to find something, you know, study and open the Bible and just say, hey, God, I want to know you. I need you in my life. Please, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart and awaken in my heart what you reveal yourself to me. And I think that's something, no one can do that for someone else. You have to do it for yourself. But I believe God promises he will reveal himself to those who are sincerely seeking after him. That's this, again, this idea of searching and sanctifying, you know, that process of growing and growing closer to Jesus each and every day. So again, just a very poignant reminder. One final passage here that's we're reminded about, John 8:32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you know what really happened, if you know and all transparency and honesty, and that's what the great controversy is all about, is it's unmasking Satan and selfishness and all the things we've been talking about. Is this is the truth that will set us free, is who is God? Who is he? Is he truly a just God? Does he really care about his creatures and rule the whole universe in a moral kind of way, a moral government, we might say. And we can look at that and say, yes, we know the truth. Doesn't mean we know everything.
No.
Grow in our understanding throughout all eternity, but we know enough. That we have, it's like clarity. You know, I was on a Zoom meeting, maybe you can relate to this, earlier today, and I was looking and the other person looked really clear, and they said, you know, Michael, you look like you're in a fog, you're all fuzzy. And then I realized I had a big smudge across where my webcam was.
That'll do it.
I just need that little tissue, I'll wipe it off so I could have clarity. And Jesus is what brings and gives us that clarity to fight Satan's subtle strategies. So it doesn't mean that it's, you know, that there aren't dangerous wolves, savage wolves. So
savage wolves, yes. And you know, those savage wolves can be subtle as well. So I'm thankful for Acts chapter 20, verses 27 to 32, that gives us clarity. And so according to Acts 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church, which he has purchased with his own blood. And this is where it really comes into key, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And Michael, you and I can probably go on for days. And matter of fact, we have gone on for days and hours about the savage wolves that we have come across in our ministry. Mm-hmm. That are there, honestly, that they really think that they're agents of God. But to be honest with you, they're agents of the enemy.
Yeah.
And by the lack of love that we have for one another, I'm talking about now here about John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. Well, they had godly counsel with the iron fist and iron rod against others. And it was showed hate and not love. And as a result of that, you can have savage wolves. And I'm speaking to you right now, repent, all of us, right? Because there's times where I've done it before as well, where someone wasn't living the way I want them to live. And instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does, I wanted to take on the role of the Holy Spirit and be a gatekeeper. Well, I'm not a gatekeeper. I am a child of God who is saved by the blood of the Lamb, which that goes for all of us. Verse 31, therefore, watch, remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so you see his heart being poured out, that he loves this flock and he doesn't want to see them go wayward. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12 talks a little bit more about this idea of this. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he has taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, and all powers and signs and lying of wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. I'll read that one more time. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I'm going to stop there for a second. The love of the truth, not the hatred, not the stringentness, not the whatever adjective you want to put in there or outcome you want to put in there. It's the love of the truth. This is what Christ is after. This is what God is after. This is what the Holy Spirit is prompting us for. And so hopefully we can avoid those savage wolves by loving the truth, loving God's truth. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So Michael, tell us how to be safeguarded by the word.
Well, I love that you're talking about the love there. That as part of that reminded me of Ellen White's famous quotation about becoming more loving and lovable.
Yes.
So that's kind of that test. If we're really allowing the truth to penetrate into our hearts and lives, it should make us the more loving and lovable Christians. But when we're in the midst of, and we know there's wolves around, Christ warns us about wolves, even wolves in sheep's clothing, right? And so how can we be safe? Well, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much we try to make ourselves in some kind of pure kind of state and live in absolute purity. In fact, Jesus is actually not like that at all. He doesn't say, go hide.
go ye therefore and hide.
Hide and try not to see anybody.
No, brother.
And it
sounds like a canvassing trip I took once.
Oh, I feel like it's breaking up, Buster.
No, just like those couple times you go out and you're afraid and therefore you kind of wander around rather than actually going to the door.
All right. Well, confession's good for the soul. And I have to say, I've been there too, you know, like, hey, I'm scared. I'm afraid what's going to happen next, you know. But John 17, Jesus says, verse 15, I my prayer is not to take you out of the world. So Jesus is not saying, hey, go flee. Actually, the opposite. You can be not of the world, even as I am not of it. In other words, you can be in the world, but not of the world. And then this poignant verse that I think hits home for our lesson theme for today, sanctify them by the truth, because your word is truth. Sanctify is kind of an interesting word. You know, sanctify. What is the sanctify? It sounds kind of complicated, but really all it's talking about is it's like plants that are growing. It's a maturing and growing in grace. And so sanctifying isn't like a status that's achieved. Rather, it's a qualitative relationship that's experienced.
Agreed.
And so this is what Christ is inviting us. Be in relationship with me, and I will take care of you. Your word, Christ's word to us, that will be the mode through which Christ penetrates our hearts. We allow the words of scripture to just sink in, say, you know, change me. You know, the most dangerous thing that you can be is where you know everything that God knows.
Ooh. So you become synonymous with God.
Yeah. And you know what? If the Bible always agrees with you and God's will always agrees in with what your decisions are.
You're a narcissist.
Well, I mean, that's true. And so what's the danger is we mold the word of God into our image rather than allowing the word of God to change and transform us to be more like Jesus. And so if we're really reading scripture and inspired writings in a very careful, prayerful way, it should convict our hearts. Hey, you know, that's not how probably you should have handled that situation. And so God will convict our hearts that, hey, you maybe you need to adjust and I need to become a little bit more like Jesus in my life, in this area of my life. And so that's that sanctifying process. It's really being in relationship with Jesus Christ. And I love this Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and the word, to the word of his grace. And so I think if we are charitable, we can say, you know what? Hey, Buster, you know, I may not agree with you, but it's okay. It's okay that we don't see everything the same way. I commit and trust that the Holy Spirit that's working in my heart is also doing the same thing in your life. And together, then we can be charitable and say, you know what? I can allow that person to grow because I know God's being very patient in how he's growing me.
Which is the mark of spiritual maturity, to be in the same room and love your brother that's not exactly like you. Mm-hmm. That is spiritual maturity, and to be okay with moving forward and allowing the process to play out, but still have love for your brother and sister.
Yeah. And one last part to this verse I want to just highlight really quickly before we move on. And then the last part of this verse, Acts 20:32, which says, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So I like this idea that when we are growing closer to Jesus, rather than tearing other people down, you know what? You're not doing things right. We work on focusing on the ways that we can build up our brother and sister in Christ. So you know what? I really appreciate that about you. You've been such a blessing in my life. I just have to let you know how you've made a just this wonderful difference in my life. So we start focusing on those positive things. It doesn't mean that we just completely forget all the challenges that are out there, but we do work in a way when it's spiritual maturity that we can affirm and say, you know what, I'm seeing God working in your life, you know? And
yes,
I and we all need a little bit of encouragement now and then.
Yes, we do. And Michael, you reminded me of the CPE process I'm going through right now. Okay. Take out time to critique each other, give each other feedback.
And
part of that though, I remember my own rule, which is a 2-to-1 ratio. if I'm ever going to tell you something that I would love to see you correct or enhance, I also need to tell you things that you're doing correctly as well. Because this is what Christ does for us. Yes, he convicts us, but he also loves on us, and he also builds us up, and he empowers us. And so let's not forget, this is a work of what God has called us to do. And so I love that you gave us that challenge, Michael, and may we embrace that.
I like it. That 2-to-1 ratio. I'm gonna remember that. That's a great thing that we need to be careful to remember. So I'm gonna think about 2-to-1. I've been working on 1-to-1.
That's good. That's good too.
I need a 2-for-1.
Yes.
All right. I like it. So how are we safeguarded by the word, Buster?
You know, Michael, you did such a great job there with Tuesday's lesson of being safeguarded by the word that it brings us here to human reasoning.
I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong title here.
No, it's all good. It's because it goes hand in hand. Yeah. Human reasoning apart from scripture. Mm-hmm. It just gives us 3 verses that reminds us that we are not synonymous with God. I'm going to say that again. We are not synonymous with God. We are wrong. Every day, there's ways that I'm definitely wrong. And I receive that. I accept it. And that's why there's wisdom in the counsel of many, because I can deceive myself. But that's why, hopefully, Michael, you help point out some of my blind spots. But listen here, Proverbs 16, verse 25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I love the King James Version says, but its end is the way of destruction. Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, which is very dangerous because we have justifications of why we do what we do, and it still doesn't make it right. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Mm. So he has taken on our iniquity, even though we are the ones that deserve it. And so I don't know where else to go here except for sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. Not my word, not my thoughts, not my life. I know sometimes we set ourselves that. I think of Luke chapter 18, the tax collector and the publican, and of course the one who comes in who's a humble man who beats on his chest and says, "Forgive me, a sinner." And the tax collector and the publican who comes in, it's like, "Lord, I haven't sinned in forever. I'm so good. I've paid my tithe. I'm great. I attend every Sabbath. I'm on the front row. I'm one of the head elders, and I'm at the board meetings. I run it. Yeah, Lord, I'm so much better than." Yes, they keep going on and on and on, and therefore there's no need for sanctification because they think they've already sanctified themselves. But he is the one that sanctifies us. His word sanctifies us. His word convicts us. And so hopefully we recognize that our ways are not God's ways, that his way is the best way. It's the only way that we can get to the Father. And so please help us to remember that, Lord, as we move forward. And Michael, with that being said, there's a battle for the mind, Thursday's lesson.
Sure, I'm looking at the right one this time, okay?
Yes, all good.
Ephesians 4:3-6, and it talks about, I'm not going to read this whole passage here, but it talks about the God of this age who has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And so, and this comes back to this, those that choose not to follow Christ and choose to resist. God doesn't force them. And that's why it says that if they would, they would even believe a lie. And I think this is important to point out that if you choose to resist the gospel of grace, God's not going to answer all your questions. He's going to leave doubts out there that you can hang your doubts on. If you want an excuse to not believe, God's going to give you that freedom to go ahead and do that very thing. And of course, that's absolutely and horribly tragic, but really we're talking, it says a battle for the mind, but I'd even say it's further than that. It's a battle for the will. It's a battle for our souls, you know, because Satan can't force us any more than God can force us, but we make a choice. Each of us makes a choice how we live our lives, whose allegiance whose side we're on in the battle. And ultimately there's a lot of people maybe that haven't made that choice yet, but God through his Holy Spirit's giving the opportunity. And that's what the whole great controversy is about is helping people see and make that choice. And so, you know, God doesn't call us to be popular. Doesn't call us to convert the whole world. He just calls us to be faithful and live out the gospel of grace and to share with as many people as possible so that they can see what God has done in our lives, what is possible for the work of God's Holy Spirit, His grace to do in transforming our lives. And to the extent that we are willing to do that, and that people see and say, wow, that's amazing. It's not that like, wow, you're some like spiritual superhero. It's just saying, hey, God's love is just kind of filtering through. It's just kind of filtering through. And in fact, the more they see Jesus, the less that hopefully they see of us, right?
And yes.
Filtering through. And that's what we find here. And by the way, that comes back all the way to the very beginning, where it's kind of wrapping up the lesson with this reference to the word in John chapter 1, this beautiful passage, poetic passage in the Greek, that's just so such an expression of the incarnation, what Jesus was all about. Verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And I mean, you just see this talk about
yes.
Jesus. It's talking about divinity here. It's talking about something that is truly, supernatural.
Yeah.
And then as you look at it, that is the word that is transformed. And verse 9 says, the true light that gives light to everyone coming into the world. So Jesus reveals he is that light. He's that candle in the cave that we need that just illumines and fights back the darkness. And so if we'll just behold Jesus in all of his love, his goodness, his grace for us, that's verse 14 that really, you know, they want to emphasize here, paying attention to this.
Yeah, Michael, I see there that the word was full of grace and truth.
Full of grace and truth, and it's God's glory. We see Amen. All of that. And, you know, this reminds me of Moses, you know, in the cleft of the rock, revealed to me your glory. And then suddenly all of God's goodness and all of his grace and kindness and mercy and all of that just so overwhelms Moses that he just can't stand it. He can't handle it. And God has to eventually kind of pull back because he just, you know, it's just more than he can had possibly could have comprehended. And that's what we're talking about here is we are reminded of God's glory, his goodness, his grace for us. And that's at the heart of, once again, this battle for the mind, the battle for our hearts and our souls, our allegiance.
Yes.
What side are we going to be on?
So, Michael, I think puts a great cap on this lesson. Of just helping us to understand what he has done for us and that we can choose to select that grace and truth as well. It doesn't, a lot of times we want to put an or there, like grace or truth. No, it's grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Live it out fully, just as our Savior did. And the only way we can do that is by allowing him to live out his life through us.
Love it. Well, you've been listening to Sabbath School Rescue Quarterly as we've been going deeper into God's word. Till next week, this is your host, Soup.
And Swoops.
Signing out. As we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Adventist Learning Community, a ministry of the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists.
You can join us each week by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Also, make sure you share with as many people as possible, and be sure to give us feedback by rating our podcast and go to our website, sabbathschoolrescue.org, for each weekly episode.